Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 75. I am Jeff, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris.
That's me.
Tonight, we're going to talk franchise disappointments. A lot of people walked away from Batman versus Superman very disappointed. Got us thinking, what were some other movies and franchises that we love that were terrible? So we're going to get to that, but first, we are going to kick it off doing our review of Oscar winner for Best Picture, Spotlight. Chris, you just saw it. I saw it a couple weeks back. What'd you think?
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Spotlight is the story of the investigative reporting that went into the kind of the sex scandal of the Catholic Church in the, what was it, like early 2000s, I guess?
Right around 9/11.
Yeah, or like right after 9/11 is when I guess the story broke. 2002, I guess. January 2002. And this chronicles the kind of investigative journalism that went into that. Very fascinating. Very, very good. Very good performances from everybody. But you don't get movies like this anymore. Like, really don't. Like, we don't. You don't get, you know, kind of the Woodward and Bernstein.
Yeah.
Kind of like we're gonna show the newsroom. I guess they make a couple nods to that as well. That you know now this isn't really where kind of people get their news from. They still did a good job then, but
it was kind of like, yeah, the time period that the movie takes place in is kind of right before, like, they saw what was coming, and they right. kind of mentioned it in it, saying, like, you know, your job's gonna change a lot very soon, like,
yeah. they make some allusions to it turning.
I think this movie is a great case for why we need real newsrooms, because your BuzzFeeds and your bloggers, they're not doing this kind of work that is shown in this movie.
Yeah, they don't investigate it. It's amazing, because a lot of times, like, you think news, like, you know, shit happens, you write it down, you get it on the page. You don't often think of teams spending, you know, weeks, months.
Months or years.
Yeah, or years, like, goes. Cracking a story that, I mean, what if they didn't get their source? What if they didn't get, like, what if they didn't have anything to back it up? Like, you wasted all that time. Like,
well, they would say that they didn't waste it. Or, you know,
right, like, no, yeah, they didn't.
Followed that to its end. And,
right.
But what's incredible about the work that, you know, these real investigative journalists do is that how long they will sit on. And they argue about it in this movie. Like, now's the time to publish this. They're like, no, it's not ready yet. I don't think any sort of independent or internet type site is doing that. Like, would sit on a story that they'd be like, we need to get this out there before anyone else.
And, right. And, yeah. It's all about how many clicks can you get? How fast can you get it out there? I mean, you hear it. We follow a lot of games journalism, but you follow, you even see it there where it's like, well, we're not even going to post it if we're not, like, early on. Like, it's not even worth posting for us. Like,
yeah.
And this is definitely something, like, there's, you know, the intricacies of how a story like this works and the impact that it can have and where it'll have the most impact.
And think of the institutions that really don't want a story like that ever being published.
Right, Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like, obviously we all knew about the, like, this scandal in the Catholic Church and how vile it is. Like, you don't actually see how, like, specifically in Boston, how the Catholic Church almost operated like a mafia. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's I mean, and that could be, you know, the way that this is painted, but it definitely came off that way. Like, there starts off with this, like, really telling scene of It's in an interrogation room, and it's this cop, and he's talking about how like this priest, like, when the DA gets here and the charges are filed, and like, yeah, there's
And
not ever going to be any charges filed against this
what
guy.
charges?
Yeah. And it's like a heartbreaking story too. Like, it's just like, wow. Like, at one point they're reading a letter that was sent in, and it's from like a mom talking about, like, I guess she was writing to the cardinal, Archbishop Law, she was writing into, and like how like all seven of her boys had been molested, and like she believed what, the Archbishop said, that, this was kind of like one bad apple, but like
Yeah.
nothing had been done, and this guy was still like actively out there in the community.
Yeah, like I think before 2002, we knew that there were instances of priests molesting children.
Right.
I think what the Boston Globe did with their story, with their investigation, is to show that it was a system-wide thing that was huge, that
Oh,
not,
yeah.
they focus on Boston because that's their local area, but they also, if there's that many going on in Boston, how are you telling me that, this.
Right. Like, I think one of their sources was an ex-priest who was like a psychology, like he did psychological studies on some of these priests, and just like his numbers, like the numbers that he had, like from his studies, suggested 6% of all priests, like across the board.
That is an incredible revelation in the film, because it's one of my favorite parts about the film, because they're like you're saying there might be as many as 13 priests in Boston, like that's their big number.
Right, 13, yeah, was the
Yeah,
big number.
and then they talk to this guy who's basically the only expert on this. He's like, I'd say that's way low.
He's like, probably more like 90,
Yeah.
which I think they came up with like 87 or something
So
like that. So,
his statistics matched.
yeah.
They were correct. Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't want to hijack this from you, but yeah, I think the movie is, it's entertaining, it's
Oh,
important.
yeah.
And one thing I really liked about it is, for like a movie that won Best Picture, there's really no big Oscar bidding going on in this. It's just a solid movie about journalism, about like this team cracking a big story. I mean, did you feel that way too about it, or?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't, like, there was, it's just a good tale. It's a good story that, like, is entertaining. It's not, like, saw The Revenant earlier, and, like, that just, like, felt like, hey, we're pushing here. Like, we're definitely trying to get an Oscar. Like, we're,
Yeah.
like, it's like, really, like, just tell me a good story. Like, because if
Yeah.
you do that and you entertain me, like, maybe then I think about things. Like, and I'll, this movie made me think about things way more than The Revenant did. Yeah, I'll say that. So, and I just, there's one other thing, like, I really found super compelling about it, is that, like, it's right towards the end. Well, Rachel McAdams' character, she finds a clip from their newspaper, from the Metro section.
From like the 90s or
Yeah,
something.
from like, it was like 91, 92 or so, like right after like one of these other priests had been kind of, written about and taken down. And this other lawyer had submitted all the paperwork, and he's like, I can't do it. Like, it needs to get out there into the public. And it ended up being buried in the Metro section. And it happened that Michael Keaton's character, who's now like the editor of the Spotlight team, like, he was the editor of Metro at that time, and he buried it. Like, he didn't remember anything about it. And
Yeah.
it was like, it wasn't just that, there were people covering it up, and, people in Boston wanting to kind of put their heads in the sand because it wasn't the norm. Like the church is a big institution there. It is in a lot of places, but
Yeah, definitely
very much more in
Boston.
Boston.
Yeah.
And it's just like, nobody really wants to think about that, or think about that, you know, there can be bad elements of this thing that is mostly viewed as good. And like even their own reporters were kind of brushing it under the rug, like unknowingly. Just like,
yeah.
Like, so everybody, like, there was blame to go around everywhere.
Yeah, they shared some of the blame themselves. But even, like, yeah, he, like you said, he didn't even remember burying it. Like, he maybe just didn't realize how legit it was, or, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, this is a great, like you said, like, All the President's Men type movie. And we don't get a ton of them. Like, I'm trying to remember. I remember a movie called Inside.
Yeah,
Inside
with the, Russell Crowe.
Yeah, that was a good one. But yeah, they don't come around too often, and they're definitely not always done as well as this. Like, I was thoroughly captivated throughout.
Yeah, it's really good across. Like, and everybody on the cast is freaking fantastic. Like, Mark Ruffalo as like the kind of the junior reporter, Michael Keaton, Rachel yeah. McAdams, Liv Schreiber is like the brand new head of the Boston Globe.
Yeah,
where a lot of shit is just being kind of like thrown his way, like, oh, he's only doing this to kind of make a name for himself, and like, no, like maybe him coming in from somewhere else was what put the eyes on this.
He is very persistent throughout it, and he saw right away that this is something that they should like. He's like, why are you guys not pursuing this as a bigger story?
Right.
He's like, he like tells the spotlight team to do it, and like, well, usually we like kind of do our own thing. He's like, well, would you like to do that? You know, like, yeah, I think especially Keaton and Ruffalo, I really, really liked in it. But it's a great ensemble piece. The whole team, the four people working on the story are really good.
Yeah,
it's as far as Oscar winners go for Best Picture. I think the last time I agreed was The Hurt Locker. That's what, 2008. It's going way back.
Yeah.
This one, would it be my number one pick for last year? No, but it would it be in my top 10 if I had seen it? Absolutely. And I have no problem with the fact that it won. I'm actually happy it won Best Picture over the stuff that they had nominated.
Yeah, like when you look at what was nominated, like, I'm glad that this movie, which is actually entertaining and well put together.
And important.
Yeah.
Both the journalism aspect and the Catholic priest aspect, because I don't think that the Catholic Church has ever really dealt with this, even still. So, despite all the exposure that they've gotten over it, they still seem to kind of sweep it under the rug. Just as far as I could tell. I mean, they tell you the fate of the cardinal law or whatever in this, and he got moved to like the biggest.
Right. Yeah. He got moved to the fucking Vatican. Like, yeah. He got a fucking promotion. Like,
exactly. He got a promotion. Like,
it's like some of it's really fucking disgusting. Cause it's like, you know, you look at it and go, all right, like, whatever, like, so the Boston Archdiocese was corrupt, but then at the end of the movie, like, they kind of just, they give you this, like, six pages of cities.
It's almost overwhelming. It's, like, yeah. Almost emotionally impacting when you see, yeah, how, it's basically every corner of the world.
Yeah, it's, like everywhere. Like, you see, it's not just the United States, it's not just North America, it's everywhere. And if you have something that systematic, like, the person at the top had to know.
Yeah.
Like, or at least people at the top had to know. Like yeah. How did this not get to the Pope and him come out and condemn it long beforehand? Like,
absolutely.
And I love the scene where they're in the archives and they're looking through these like basically like phone books for priests or whatever. And they're noted, like, I guess it's like a roster or whatever. And they cracked the code.
Like, yeah, it's pretty great. And I started thinking too, I'm like, well, instead of working off the list that you have, why don't you start going through that? And then, cause basically, anytime these priests got shuffled around for abusing kids, they would, you know, in the records, they got put down as, oh, it was sick leave or whatever.
Right.
So they're verifying, you know, cases that they've, you know, heard about from victims. And they're like, well, why don't we start going through these books and just looking at priests that were on sick leave, like, and they do what I was thinking, like, they just start doing that. I was like, that is, it's great, like, detective work, really, you know?
Right.
It's kind of what I love about, like, it's like, kind of, like, I wanted to be a journalist for a long time, and that's, like, stuff like this, like, kind of reinvigorates my passion for the work that they do, you know? Yeah, it's just a fantastic movie all around. Would you have anything more you wanted to add about the movie, or?
I mean, I think definitely give it a watch. Super entertaining, thought provoking, great performances all around.
Yeah, one other thing I want to add: there are two movies from last year that will leave you kind of outraged and kind of really pissed off. This is one of them. I thought for sure, like, at the end of it, I was like, fuck it. I'm already kind of like, fuck the Catholic Church, and I say that as someone who was raised Catholic. But by the end of this, I was like, God, fuck them, you know? And this movie, and then The Big Short, also, at the end of the movie, I was just so pissed off at Wall Street and, you know, the government and everything, just letting Wall Street get away with what he did. So, yeah, rating for Spotlight, Chris?
I'm probably gonna go with 4 here. Very, like, super entertaining. I really liked it a lot. It's a bit long. I think it's like a little over 2 hours. I think I'm beginning to see, like, if movies are over 2 hours, I'm starting to get a little annoyed. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, definitely give it a go.
Yeah, I've wrestled back and forth with this one. I'm going to give it a 5. I do think it is a pretty fantastic movie. So, is it a movie I'm going to be, you know, buying on Blu-ray and watching a ton? No, but it's great as a single watch.
Yeah, I'm glad that, like, we sat down and watched it.
Absolutely.
It's definitely very good.
You saw another movie within the last week, and then we'll get into our franchise disappointments. Spy.
Right? I did. I saw Spy, directed by Paul Feig. I think he's doing the Ghostbusters movie.
Yep.
He did Bridesmaids. He did The Heat, which was Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. This is another Melissa McCarthy movie. She plays a CIA analyst, that kind of, like, she's like the earpiece behind, like, the James Bond dude, played by Jude Law. And, something happens to Jude Law. He gets, murdered, and, she decides, like, kind of follows the, premise of Mission Impossible, where the list of agents, of active agents, is leaked, so no one's safe. Like, any of the active agents kind of can't work on this, so she's like, I can do it. She steps in, they put her out there, and it's kind of this goofy thing, almost Austin Powers-y at points, and I was like, ooh, this is the first hour, I was like, I don't know. I actually stopped it and like, went to bed, and then I came back the next day and wrapped it up, and it gets so much better. It just, there's a turning point in it when she just kind of, like, lets go, and it becomes, like, the most hysterical spy movie I've probably ever seen. She is completely vile, insulting all the way around. She's very, very funny. I'm trying to think of what the hell's his name.
Statham?
Yeah, Jason Statham. He is amazing in this movie. Like, you generally don't get him as, like, a he's not really kind of, like, a funny guy. He always kind of plays, like, the hard ass. He's charismatic. Like, I mean, like Crank. And
I find him funny. Like, yeah, it's a charismatic type funny.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, he really... He is, like, self-deprecating in this, and it's, like, he's kind of, like, the badass spy. He's, like, you know, I once, like, ate a nuclear bomb to get rid of it or something like stupid shit like that. Like, and she actually calls him out on it at one point. Like maybe all your family didn't die. Maybe they killed themselves because you're such an asshole. And he's just like all the time keeps going and like he's bumbling, like he's just a fool. He keeps fucking up everywhere, and she ends up having to save him all the time. It's really funny from like the halfway point on. It's just getting there so rough, and
How long is it?
it's a long movie too. It's another movie over 2 hours.
What?
Yeah,
That's crazy.
comedy should not be over 2 hours. This takes too long to get going. But once it hits that point, it's really, really entertaining. When Rose Byrne finally kind of like steps in, she plays one of the villains in the movie. Once her and McCarthy start sharing screen time, it's really, really good and really, really, really funny because they are both nasty to each other across the board. And McCarthy has she has a really good like kind of delivery to things, and Byrne is just like really beautiful, and the shit coming out of her mouth is absurd. But yeah, it's a bit too long. It takes a bit too long to get where it needs to be entertaining, and that's kind of like a sin that a comedy can't have. But if you can stick through it, it's definitely really funny and worth a go.
Yeah, I'm interested in it based on. I kind of heard the same thing too. That's like really raunchy, and
Yeah.
now hearing that you liked it, I'll probably add it to my list. I'm actually out of like new stuff anyways to get on Netflix, so.
It's worth a watch. Like I just saw it, like that first hour was just too long. Like nothing was really happening, and it wasn't really amusing at that point. But once she starts letting go, it becomes really amusing, and some of the lines in it are like super raunchy and hysterical. She threatens this one guy that's a bodyguard of Rose Byrne. She threatens to chop his dick off and glue it to his head so he looks like a limp dick unicorn. And she says it with this like, it's just like this stream of thought like coming out of her mouth, and it's like, holy shit, she just said that to him.
She's really funny. I really like the first movie they did together, Bridesmaids. That was the first movie they
Bridesmaids
did.
was really good, yeah.
It seems like that director. How do you say his name again?
Paul, I think it's Feig.
I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
So, I think that he's like obsessed with her or something. But I think he recognizes that she's such a funny talent that,
Yeah.
if they're willing to keep coming back to work for you, why not, right?
Yeah, and if you can get somebody who's kind of gonna bring you good performances all the time, and you can find a role for her, sure. Like
She.
McCarthy's a weird, kind of a weird position, though, right? It's like she's not the prototypical female actress,
She's
so
not usually what you would think of as a lead either. She's like
right.
usually a friend, but she's getting lead roles. Although I have to say the new movie coming out with her looks not great.
Which one's that?
It's she plays like this rich lady. I forgot the hell what it's about.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It looks like really vile too, but maybe not funny. I
Yeah,
don't know.
the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like garbage.
Yeah, it looks like it like is like gonna be R-rated or something, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not expecting that to be good, but yeah, it's just weird. This spy movie was just so under the radar for me. Like, I just really didn't hear much until you started saying stuff about it, so.
Yeah, Earl had mentioned it, I think. I mean, he's big in the spy movies, but I think he had mentioned it that it was pretty good. And it's like I like Statham, and McCarthy's generally funny. And gave it a go. It's definitely worth a watch. So,
What are you gonna give it as far
I'm
as rating?
gonna go with a 3 stars on it. I know that probably
Okay.
seems low, but it's 2 hour and 10 minute comedies are, that's long.
Yeah, and it sounds like half of it is great and the other half is
Yeah,
not.
and it's
So
like
that rating makes sense, you know.
it's like the it's like going back and watching Austin Powers, like it's like I don't know. This was funny at the time, but that seemed to be the vibe it was going for until it goes like full on raunch about halfway through. So, but yeah, three stars for that.
I will probably actually end up checking it out within the next week. But without further ado, we're gonna get into the feature of this episode, which is talking about movies and franchises that we hate. We each brought three films and a franchise that we love, but this entry in the franchise was a low mark for the franchise, and we found it immediately disappointing the first time we saw it. I kind of got the idea for this after seeing Batman vs. Superman. I was very disappointed, and I was just thinking, like, what other franchises out there that I really, like, I really love Batman, and I hated Batman vs. Superman, so what else out there, you know? And we did not discuss our choices beforehand, so there is a possibility that Chris and I have some overlap here. We might have picked the same movies, and if we did, we did. I mean, if we did, it's funny, but... So what's your first pick, Chris?
Lethal Weapon 3.
Wow. I remember liking it.
Yeah, it's...
I think.
It's. I really love the Lethal Weapon series. Like,
hell yeah.
Mel Gibson, Danny Glover. Lethal Weapon 1 is fantastic. Lethal Weapon 2, I think, is even better. And then 3 came along, and, like, I don't dislike Joe Pesci. I mean, he's in 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this one just kind of like felt like it was spinning its wheels, and there's nothing about it is exciting. Like, nothing about it was like super funny. It just felt like, oh, they did another one of these, which is funny because that's exactly what Lethal Weapon 4 is, but I like Lethal Weapon 4. Like,
I was just about to ask you.
Like, yeah. I enjoy Lethal Weapon 4. I know that, like, people generally probably don't, but I like 4. Lethal Weapon 3, though, I just, nothing about it is appealing to me. It has a terrible ending. Like, it takes place in, like, this, like, they're building houses somewhere. There's a lot of focus on Rene Russo's character. I think this might be the first film she's in.
She was in 3?
Yeah, she was in 3. Like, I think that's where she gets introduced. Like, she kind of meets... She meets Riggs in 3, and they get married in 4.
Wow. Okay.
And it's just like they focus a lot on her, and it's like Lethal Weapon is about Riggs and Murtaugh and their relationship and the ridiculous nonsense that they get into. And generally, like, Riggs being crazy and Murtaugh having to bail him out by being the sensible cop. But there's too much focus on, like, Leo Getz, which is Joe Pesci's character, and Lorna, which is Renee, and, like, the villain's not entertaining. Like, nothing about it was good for me. So, yeah, that's a huge disappointment on my end.
I you know what? Now that you say it, like, I remember liking Lethal Weapon 3, but the only thing I remember is that there was way more Joe Pesci in it. I did not even remember Renee Russo. I thought she was new in Part 4, so... I guess that explains a lot, because I love, like, the first Lethal Weapon, dude, I love that movie, like, and I think it's because Riggs is, like, the craziest, I think, in that one, where he's, yes, like, jumping off the building with the dude, he's putting the gun in his mouth.
Wait, he's borderline suicidal in that movie,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I think by the end of it, like, he finally feels he has a purpose, and, like, that's where it kind of goes from there with 2, like, Murtaugh is his family, like... Like, he's finally found family, yeah, at that point.
I remember really liking 2 as well. Like, it's a fun one. And, like, the addition of Joe Pesci. But, yeah, I think that the only thing I remember is, like, they did too much Joe Pesci in 3. But, like, man, I must have not seen 3 since it came out. So, there's probably a reason for that. So, I'll take your word for it.
Damn. Don't go back and watch it.
Kind of probably from the same era. This is the example I gave to you, but I fucking pretty much despise this movie. Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday.
Ooh.
There's a few problems with this one. It's the 9th entry in Friday the 13th, and they all have varying levels of quality. Some people would say they're all junk, right? But
sure.
I like them all. Like, I like Jason Goes to Man... Jason Takes Manhattan. Like, I like the whole series, even though Jason Takes Manhattan is kind of dog shit, and Manhattan's only in it for, like, 20 minutes at the end. You'd think that they couldn't go any lower than that, but I feel like they really did with Jason Goes to Hell. Like, first off, it's called Jason Goes to Hell. There's no hell, and there's no Jason in this fucking movie. Like, I remember making my dad go to see this movie in the theater because I was a huge Friday the 13th fan. I'm like, oh, it's the title of the movie, full title, Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday. Forcing my dad to go see the movie in the theater, and we went to the drive-in, and I, like, immediately, I'm like a 10-year-old kid at this point, and I walk away hating it. As a 10-year-old kid, like, I do not accept this. Because the big problem with Jason Goes to Hell is Jason is barely in it. And they come up with, like, all this bullshit stuff that they add to the mythology. Like, he has a sister and blah, 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 and she's the only one who could kill him. And, oh, by the way, like, Jason is, like, just this fucking slug that can invade other people, and that's how he's been living for so long, is by taking over new bodies. And, like, added this whole... like, invasion of the body snatcher, like, sci-fi element that, like, one, you can't introduce new shit like this 9 films into a series, I think. And two, it just sucks, because you're like, instead of seeing Jason, like, half the time, it's just this, like, random people walking around as Jason. There's one part where someone talks as Jason has possessed their body. It's just like none of this stuff. None of it is like fits in with the canon that we already know. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it starts off pretty awesome. Like there's a girl. She's like taking a shower and this and that, and she's like off in the woods in a cabin by herself. And then Jason shows up. You're like, all right, hell yeah. And then all of a sudden, like you find out like she was like a plant, and the FBI or whatever shows up and blows Jason up. You're like, damn, that's pretty badass. And it's all downhill from there, I think, because then the mortician or whatever at the morgue, like, eats Jason's heart, and he turns into Jason, and it's, God, is it stupid. I don't know if you hate it as much as me. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, I have seen it. It's not a good one, that's for sure.
Like, if you accept it as something completely different, it's still pretty bad, because it's just, like, ripping off other stuff, you know?
That's not a very good film.
Yeah, it's like there's like some kind of funny stuff. Like there's this guy Creighton Duke. Like there's just so many things that are added to the mythology at the supposedly last minute, where it's like there's like this bounty hunter guy. He's like, I know how to kill Jason. It's like, where the fuck has any of the stuff been for the previous 8 films? Just do a Jason movie right, like especially like to have the audacity to call it, like, this is the final Friday, like this is the end of the series, like. Dear Lord, no. So yeah, that's my first pick, and yeah, I've always hated Jason Goes to Hell, and I think I always will. Like, it's just a bad movie that rips off other movies that has nothing to do with Friday the 13th, which I love Friday the 13th, and I hope that they write that. Like, I hope, honestly, I like the last one, so I just hope that they like continue to make good ones. So we'll see.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the last one, too. So.
Well, the new one's like been in development hell forever. Yeah. I'm sure you heard. Like, it was at one point supposed to be like a final, or I'm sorry, like a found footage film, which I've heard has been scrapped, thank God, but it's still in development hell now. I don't think we even have a script yet. So, well, I honestly don't know. I would just continue off, like, make it a sequel to the remake. I mean, that would be the way to go. Like, to reboot it again, I think seems, I don't know. I know people didn't like the remake, but I did. So I'd be happy for just a sequel. Anyways. Yeah, me too.
My second one, we'll continue on the horror train here. It's Halloween Resurrection.
Oh boy.
I bounced around. There's some disappointment in the Halloween franchise, which probably
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm a huge fan of the series.
You're a huge fan. It's my favorite horror series.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, like, slasher films. And And I mean, there's those Rob Zombie films, which I don't really like to kind of include them here because they're kind of their own thing. They're disappointing in their own right, but.
Yes, they are. They're actually, there's a, like, for a series that I love, there's a ton of disappointment in Halloween. Like,
And I bounced around here. I mean, I know you're a huge fan of Halloween 3, but I remember the first time I saw that, I was super disappointed.
it's so good. It's so great.
And I think, like, if I go back and watch it not as a Halloween film, but which Halloween, I mean, like, as a Michael Myers movie, like, and I think, like, going into Halloween 3 the first time I saw it, I was like, or what the fuck? Like, where's Michael Myers? What is this stupid shit
Absolutely.
with
Yeah.
masks? Like, it didn't fit in with me. I think, like, as its own horror film, like, I probably actually appreciate it now, but
Have you watched it recently?
no. I own it. I bought, like, the there was like a really cool
Oh.
set that came out
Yeah.
that had it in it, but
Dude,
yeah, I haven't
watch it. It's
watched
a
it since then.
blast. It's a blast.
And Halloween 4 and 5, I think, are really cool. I actually enjoy Halloween 6. And then there's Halloween H2O, which I was bouncing between that and Halloween Resurrection.
Whoa, we're gonna have to do a Halloween episode. You don't like H2O?
I'm not a fan of H2O. Like, it's okay, which is why I think I went with Resurrection here, because
And wait,
Resurrection's just a piece of shit.
I am not in disagreement on that, but I actually thought about including on this list that we're doing right now. I thought about including five, which you just said you liked.
I like what 4 and 5 do.
I like what four does. I think five, like, the first time I saw five, I was super intrigued by it and then by the ending, but then as the years have gone on, I'm just like, what the fuck were you guys doing?
Yeah, maybe I need to go back and rewatch 5 again, but I 4 and 5 I like that they kind of tied directly to each other
Yeah.
and 6 is kind of its own thing, but I like
Also,
6.
I think four through six, like, I think actually four is really good, but five and six are disappointing in their own right. But I think getting to the subject at hand here, you're right. Resurrection, ooh,
Resurrection's
the
not
dog.
good. And it picks up shortly after the end of H2O. It kind of just like, it makes everything about H2O just inconsequential. It like retcons it all at the beginning and then kills off Laurie Strode.
The main character, I mean, besides Michael, the main,
Yeah.
like, to kill her off in such a, like, just,
Throwaway. It's in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
yeah, it's just like they're discarding a character that fans of the series, like, I love Laurie Strode, and
Right.
just kill her like that, like, she got way better justice, I think, in H2O, where she wasn't
Yes,
killed,
she
and
had, like, yes, I think, like, as a Laurie Strode comeback, as Jamie Lee Curtis returning to the series, she definitely gets a better send off in that movie. And then they bring her back for this one and kill her in the first 5 minutes. And the way the movie, like, it's so shitty. Like, the poster has Jamie Lee Curtis on the knife of, like,
yeah.
the cast.
Well, she's on the knife, all right.
Yeah. Said she's killed in the first 5 minutes, so she's inconsequential to this movie. And it all takes place in Michael's old home in Haddonfield, where Busta Rhymes is running a reality show out of the house. It's like, oh, like, you know, we're running like a horror reality show. Who can sleep in, you know, the crazy serial killer's house overnight? It's so bad. It's like, I don't think the kills are inventive. I don't think it's really entertaining. It's so stupid. So stupid.
It is a bad, like, they were trying to do like a found footage thing with it, and no, it was not good. And like you said, like, none of the kills or nothing was really done well. It is, in my opinion, a so bad it's good for just
I
the
could see
kung fu
that.
fight. There's like a kung fu fight
Yeah.
between Michael and Busta Rhymes, like,
Which
just
is
for that alone.
fantastic. Like,
Yeah,
it's
it's so
so
stupid
ridiculous.
though. Like, yeah.
It's like, why is this happening? Like, Michael Myers is not, like, he should not be in a kung fu fight. Like, he's the fucking, like, he's the Shade. Like, what the hell is going on here?
And it's Another really sad thing about this movie is Rick Rosenthal directed it, who he hasn't done a lot of movies, but he did Halloween 2, which I think is a really fantastic Halloween movie.
I love Halloween.
So, yeah, it, honestly, like, as far as rewatchability, it's my favorite. Like, I can rewatch Halloween 2 over and over. I don't know what the fuck happened with this movie. It's you're right. It's a pile of shit.
Yeah,
anything you want, any more you want to pile onto the fire of that one?
No, it's just so bad. Like, I mean, like, if you're going to watch it, like, as Jeff said, as, like, kind of, like, it's that's so bad that it's, like, you can't take your eyes away from it because it's so dumb. But, like, as a fan of Halloween, it is so bad. like, it really does rival some of those Rob Zombie movies, like, on the bad scale.
Honestly would say that the Halloween 1 from Rob Zombie is better than Resurrection, which is saying a lot because I do not like his interpretation.
Yeah, it's such a weird
thing. I've come to accept his remake, like the original remake, as its own, like just as a horror movie he did on his own, and it's okay.
Yeah.
I have problems with him.
We've talked about the Rob Zombie Halloween movies numerous times before, but the first 10, 15 minutes of his Halloween 2 are fucking phenomenal.
It's okay, but like that movie goes, I mean,
that's where it should have ended. It should have been 15, it should have been that hospital sequence, which is, you know,
Halloween 2.
Halloween 2.
Yeah.
Like, which I love, but.
Dude, I urge you to rewatch Halloween 2, like his Halloween 2. It's so bad. It is one of the worst horror movies I've ever seen. Like, it's ridiculous.
To get pet, like, the hospital scene is all a dream sequence.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's the only good part. Yeah, and then it just goes into this, you know, it just kind of comes as, like, a regular sequel after that, and they make Dr. Loomis very unlikable, like, in it, which is, I think, a huge, huge mistake. And I think that he, like, the girl who's playing Laurie Strode, like, Taylor Compton, I think her name is, she's awful. She was okay in the first one. She's awful in the sequel.
Yeah.
And, like, there's all this white horse bullshit. There's so many bad things, and oh, God. I just rewatched both of them recently, and I actually came away liking Halloween 1 a little bit, but, oh, my God. Halloween 2 is one of the, it's he should, that's a crime against cinema. It really is.
What's your second one?
All right, so for the next two, I don't remember them that well, and there's a reason I don't, because they're fucking terrible. And all right, let's get this right out there. A Good Day to Die Hard.
Ooh, that.
Did you see this movie? Fucking disgrace.
That's five, right?
Yes.
Die Hard 5. Yes.
Yes.
That almost made my list.
That's the last Die Hard movie, and
let me tell you, Russia.
Yeah, which one is a huge mistake. Like, John McClane should not be outside the U.S.
He's a fucking cop.
Yeah. Well, he's just like this quintessential, like American guy. Like, you know, and maybe they're trying to do like a fish out of water type thing, but it's so. Here's what I remember from A Good Day to Die Hard. He's an old fart, and he's farting around Europe trying to, like, talk to his kid, who his kid is, like, a CIA agent, and he was trying to do a job, and John McClane is fucking everything up. And
yes.
That's all I remember. Like, I don't, like, think of, I love Die Hard. Like, Die Hard 1 is my favorite action movie ever. The series as a whole, I really love, outside of 2. I never really got into 2. That was another one where I made my dad take me to drive, and I didn't like it.
Oh, you didn't like Die Hard 2?
No,
I heard 2.
I don't know why. But 3 is fantastic. 4 was way more fun than I ever thought it could have been, and it's still, like, it holds up to multiple viewings.
Yeah, 4 is a ton of fun.
Good Day to Die Hard, I went to go see it in the theater, despite reviews. And I walked out of the movie theater hating that movie, and I've never seen it again, and I probably never will see it again. It's a fucking disgrace. It's just like the way they treat his character, like just to have him being like this dumbass old fart who's like his son, like he basically fucks up everything his son is trying to do in it. And then they also kind of double down on him doing impossible, like, action and stuff. And, like, kind of, like, remember in part 4, he, like, flies a helicopter.
Yes.
Like, it's starting to get, you know, this series has always, like, been kind of ridiculous, but...
But it's, like, now he's, like, a fucking superhero. Like,
yeah, exactly.
There was always an element of he's in these, like, outlandish situations, but they at least make some sort of sense, like...
They're somewhat grounded, like,
right.
He's doing crazy shit even in the first one, but, like, you know, like, he bleeds and he gets hurt in the first one by, like, you know, walking around in glass is a big deal in the first one, and well, my God, the first one's amazing. This movie is just a generic, shitty action movie with, like, I don't even remember who the villain was in it because... I don't remember the movie mostly at all. I just remember that, like, he's following his kid around. His kid's like, leave me the fuck alone, Dad. It's fucking stupid. But, like, I could tell you the main villain from every other Die Hard movie, and I couldn't even tell you who it is. And it's a damn shame. Like, I almost do hope they make another one that's good. I know the clock is ticking on.
They are evidently making another Die Hard movie, so.
Oh, they are. I was going to say, because he's getting up there. He's getting old. And that, you know, they make a point of that in the last two ones, but I just want to see the series go out on a better note than that. A Good Day to Die Hard was just a completely forgettable film and a franchise that is mostly awesome. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you said it almost made your list.
Yeah, it did. It was one shit. I definitely considered.
I remember going to see that on a nice cold January day or whenever the fuck it came out and just walking out of there going, wow, the critics are right on that one. That was a pile of shit.
Piece of garbage.
What else you got there, Chris?
So my last one here is Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
I heard some people love that one.
I know there are people that love it. I don't get it.
There's people like me who love Halloween 3, so I guess.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot. Like, I like the Fast and Furious movies. They are not all particularly good movies. Actually, I'd say most of them are not good movies outside of, like, I think the first one is actually pretty decent, and the fifth one I think is actually a really good heist movie. The rest of they're superhero movies with fucking cars.
It almost felt like I'm no expert on the series whatsoever, but it feels like with part 5 is when they kind of like reinvigorated or kind of rebooted the series a little bit. Am I wrong on that?
Well, so I think 5 is definitely a continuation off of 4.
Like the movies take into account everything that's happened, but it feels like. It embraced what it was with 5, and they're like, let's just make a crazy, goofy...
Yeah, let's just make something that's fun and you know, has cars in it, and shit happens, and we have The Rock now, so...
Which is a huge...
Yeah.
Huge asset there.
It's like, they did a lot with 5 that had never been done before, but 3, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, which is the third movie, it's not that it even... breaks from story because, you know, there Fast and Furious was a, you know, movie with Vin Diesel as kind of the main character, and then 2 breaks away from that, and it's Paul Walker, who was in the first one too, but it's Paul Walker and Tyrese off on their own. Like, it's still Paul Walker's character, but it's something completely different. It's an absurd train wreck on its own. And then the third one happens, and it's this low budget thing. Paul Walker's out. Vin Diesel's out.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it's this Lucas Black plays a teenager in high school, and he gets sent to go live with his dad over in Japan. And none of it makes sense. Like, little Bow Wow's in it. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, it's so stupid, and I know people do love it, and the drifting scenes, like, if you're into just watching, like, cars do cool shit, like, cars do cool shit in this movie, but, like, nothing else is consequential to it outside of Han dying, which they retcon in, I think, in 6 and 7. So to have Jason Statham kill him, so it's like, so this movie doesn't even have a purpose anymore. It's kind of really stupid. So it's a really big disappointment. I never want to watch it again. I know people like get into it. They're like, "Oh, it's so good!" Like I cannot stand
Yeah.
it. It's such a disappointment to me.
It's one I see people talk about. They're probably talking about it because so many people hate it. Maybe. I don't know. I've never been huge into the
Yeah,
series.
I've never understood the actual like appeal of it. I just wonder if maybe it's like this ironic thing, like, oh, it's so dumb that
Or it's like reactionary, like
right.
people hate it so
People
much,
hate
you
it,
know?
so we
Yeah.
love it. Like, this is the
Yeah.
one we love. Like, I don't get it. Maybe somebody that's listening can explain it, 'cause I'm confused. And as a fan of the series, like, of loving watching cars do cool shit and watching Vin Diesel and The Rock like do awesome crap, this has no place in this series.
All right, I got a lower low for you, I think, Chris.
All right.
You know what I like to see do cool shit? Chainsaws.
Yes.
Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's a series with a lot of highs and lows,
Yep.
right?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the original is a classic. I enjoy 2, I enjoy 3. 4, say what you will. At least you have fucking Matthew McConaughey hamming it up. You have some weird alien bullshit. It's crazy. Like, it's terrible, but it's crazy. Like, so it's watchable for that.
Right.
There's a Texas Chainsaw that's worse than Texas Chainsaw 4. And I don't know if you remember this one, Chris. I don't know if you've even seen it. It's Texas Chainsaw 3D. Remember that movie? Exactly. No one fucking remembers it.
Is that the one where the girl inherits the house?
Yes, dude.
I don't hate that one.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Oh my God, was it bad?
It's bad, but like,
First off, I forgot. Like, I was just going through franchises and stuff, and then I stumbled upon this. I was like, oh my God, they made that. That was the thing that happened. Like, I had erased it from my memory.
it did happen. I actually think the one that follows the Jessica Biel one is worse, but
The sequel to the reboot.
yeah, which was like a prequel to the
That's a low point. I think this is way, way, way lower. Oh my
okay.
God. You liked it?
I thought it was okay. Like I don't love it, but I thought it was watchable.
I remember nothing about it. Like, I had to like look up on Wikipedia. I just remember absolutely hating it.
Like I think at the end, the
The
girl
ending.
is keeping Leatherface in her basement like a pet.
Yes. Dude, that, I mean, here's a problem. Don't be adding like mythology
To this.
that like, again, this is another thing that like I've already said in this episode here. Like, it's one thing to like a Phantasm builds on its mythology. It's another thing to like negate things that you already know. And then when you're like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 films deep into a series to just be like rewriting the whole story. Like, that is a slap in the face, I think, to fans. And this movie has the audacity to be a direct sequel to Texas Chainsaw 1.
It does, yes.
Yeah. And it's terrible. And yeah, it's some girl finds out she's like some sort of heir to the Sawyer estate or some bullshit. Like, I really don't remember the plot. The only thing I remember is that, like, that. And then, like, looking it up, I saw what you said, which is like, at the end, after all her friends have been terrorized and murdered by Leatherface, she decides she's gonna be fucking BFFs for life with Leatherface. Like, what in the actual fuck is going on? Like, think about that. What kind of sense does that make that someone who's like all her friends have been murdered and killed, that she's gonna like, well, he's the only family I have left, so I'm gonna protect him now. Like, it was just, oh my God, what a slap in the face. Like I said, like Chainsaw series has had its ups and downs, but it doesn't get any fucking lower, in my opinion, than 3D. Like, oh my God, what a pile of shit.
That's fair.
I'm so surprised because I remember, I think we reviewed it on the show long, long time ago.
Yeah, I think it was one of the first ones I think we might have
Yeah.
used.
and I just remember hating it. That's all I remembered. So I had to look up the Wikipedia on it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's why I hate it." Because they tried to make her like his buddy at the end, like the movie.
Oh my god! And I'm currently looking through the pictures on IMDb, and there's a picture of Alexander Daddario who plays Leatherface's cousin, the one who inherits the house. And I remember there was this fight scene at the end of the movie in like this abandoned warehouse where she's fighting off like these two cops, and Leatherface comes and saves her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's dumb.
That movie, like I said, I would rather watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, or The New Generation, or whatever, the one with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, and Renee Zellweger.
Weird. Yeah, like, that movie's a train wreck and a half, but, like, Matthew McConaughey shows up and just hams the fuck out of that movie in a way that's, like, makes it fun. This is just, it was just cheap, like, trying to cash in on the success of the remakes. Like you said, the last one before that was nothing good either. But I could watch that again. Maybe this is like, I almost want to see this again to like remember like the details of why I hated it so much. But like, it's terrible.
I think I want to watch it again now. I think I do. Like,
it's so funny because like, I don't think anyone remembers this. It came out in 2013, and think of how forgotten it. Like, when I think of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think of the first four and the remake. That's
like the remake is, well, the first one, the original Texas Chainsaw, and the remake are the ones that pop into my head.
Dude, I love 2 with the radio station. And
2 is so weird.
It's such an oddity. And you have Dennis Hopper running around in these catacombs. Like, I mean, it's all so not good. And... it's great, though.
Oh. Yeah. I kind of want to go back and watch this because I remember that I remember the opening of Texas Chainsaw 3D really enjoying it.
I kind of remember, like, the kind of going through the crime scene of the original, like,
yeah, it starts off like it, like shortly after, I guess, the original, and these cops have come to basically kill everybody at where Leatherface is, because they're inbred cannibals and whatnot.
It's one that if you are a Texas Chainsaw fan, check this out. I think you'll agree with me. It's not very good.
It's not good.
No.
I think I still hate the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning, more, though.
That's also bad.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of trying to...
I don't know. Maybe I need to watch them both again.
It's at least in the style of the remake, so it was intense at parts and pretty, like, intense and gruesome. This was just, like... It was throwaway horror, man. It could have been anything. It was just... Ugh. The fact that, like, as soon as I remember this one, I'm like, that is on the list. It's a lock. Like, I hated it so much. Well, that was fun, man.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind doing that again sometime. I'm sure we could think of more.
Oh, there's tons of disappointing movies out there.
Any last things?
No, I mean, definitely TV. We didn't get to talk about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
That Star Wars trailer is really good. Yeah, you should definitely watch that.
Intrigue. It made me go from they shouldn't be doing this to that looks cool.
Yeah, I was worried. Like, I was definitely. We've talked about it before. I was like, yeah, I'm okay with them doing a Star Wars movie every year, but going into this trailer, I was like, I don't know. What if it's bad? Like, what if Jeff was right? What if like we shouldn't have Star Wars every year because it's not special? And then the trailer hit, and I was like, oh yes. Yes, why do I have to wait 8 months for this? It should be right now. It was great. Like, what's her name? Felicity Jones? Is that her name?
I don't know. The main character?
The actress.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, she's pretty. Felicity Jones. she plays a character, Jyn Erso, who's just everything about it looked great. Like,
it looked really vintage. Like,
yeah,
it looks really old. Like, the helmets and everything they're wearing. Like, they got all that stuff right in The Force Awakens too. But like, this looks like grittier. Even like, it looks good, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really interested. I know people really like Gareth Edwards. I liked Godzilla.
I did as well, but I did not care for monsters.
Yeah, so I didn't like monsters either, so I was
it's
a little
fine, you know.
Coming into this, so
the director is only so much of it, you know. So if he's working off a cool script, like if it's a good story,
and like from what I saw out of this trailer, it looks really cool. Like it looks like it's maybe kind of like this spy kind of, you know. I mean, we know it's about them getting the intelligence to get the Death Star plans. But, I mean, there's some really cool scenes in there. There's, like, a battle with, like, some dark stormtroopers and, like, rebel sniper rifles. And then there's, like, a dude with a staff beating up he's, like, beating up these stormtroopers that he's training. Everything about it looks great. And I think I've heard that Darth Vader will make an appearance in this movie, so.
Yeah, I've heard as much. It looks
so good.
Yeah, it looks good. Like, I think it'll be a good movie. I'm going to go see it. I just, you know, I don't get as excited as I would for, like, an episode 8.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm definitely, like, but.
But it's cool. It's, like, a nice
placeholder.
I'm
also, like, happy that, like, yeah, like, hey, yeah. We're getting more Star Wars. It's something different, so it's not, you know, it's not a continuation, but it also doesn't necessarily feel. I feel like there's Marvel overload, and I was a little afraid that, like, Disney was going to do that with Star Wars here, but it feels like they hit the right tone.
Yeah,
and maybe just one movie a year is okay.
I don't think we're there yet with the overload, and. Like, I don't need a new Star Wars movie every year of my life. Yeah, right. I'll be fine. But it looks good, so I'm on board.
Right. I'm excited. Like,
yeah.
Hopefully it's a ton of fun. They get Mon Mothma right too, the rebel leader, which is great because, like, if you look at the scenes from her in, like, the old movies, she looks spot on. So. Looks great.
I'm down.
Yeah. And unfortunately, didn't get to talk about The Walking Dead. I'll just add this in. The finale happened. People are pissed. I don't know why you're pissed. If you watch The Walking Dead and you're surprised that they left on a cliffhanger, you're an idiot.
I haven't been watching, so I can't speak to it too much. I don't think it's just that it's a cliffhanger. It's that to me, this is why I stopped watching, is the show is afraid to commit and move forward. It's afraid to do something that really shakes it up. Like, and, like, I heard about, like, was it last season or something? Like, oh, Glenn's dead. He's not really dead.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, that was this.
That would be where I would fucking, like, I dropped out before that. But, like, that's the type of shit that show does, where it's just, like, they don't want to move forward. They don't want to continue it.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. I think that it's a soap opera. Like, I know I saw your little rant about it.
Yeah.
You know, comparing it to, like, how Breaking Bad does things. Breaking Bad was, like, there was a beginning, middle, and an end to that story from the start.
Yeah.
This is That's a soap opera. Like, there is no ending because the source material is still ongoing. Like,
I understand that, but. When I'm watching an hour-long drama now, I can't go back to something that's doing that. Like, to me, that's an old way of doing TV. Do a good 5-season run or 6, whatever you're gonna do, then make another show. Like, I just they're riding this fucking tide, and it's gonna start to shift on them. It might help once the ratings start to drop because they'll start to commit to things.
But that's the crazy thing though, is like each season they keep going up, and I guarantee you that the start of season 7 it'll break records again.
I don't think anyone who had stuck around to the cliffhanger this one will walk away because they're gonna want to know what the fuck happened.
No, they won't.
Because I know what it is. Like, someone gets killed, but they don't show who it is, and which is so cheap. Like, I just.
I love the scene though. It was so good.
Yeah,
I get it. People are pissed off, you know, that they didn't get the closure that they wanted for the season. But I actually like, I got the closure I wanted because what I've been waiting for all year was Negan to show up, and he shows up, and that 10 minutes is probably the best 10 minutes of the entire season. So
yeah, but that's another thing. It's so much stop and go. It's hurry around and wait.
I actually think this season did a lot. Like, did a lot of good. Like they
That's what
added,
everyone says every season. I'm sorry, I hate The Walking Dead at this point.
no,
Like,
I'm just like from like what happened this year though, where like after they got to Alexander, everything set down, they started moving on with that, and then there was this group introduced, the Saviors, which is Negan's group, and they're kind of tasked with from this other settlement of taking them out. So they align with the settlement, they take them out, and Rick has actually gotten everybody in over their head. And the last four episodes of this season have just been kind of showing that maybe Rick's decision to attack these people wasn't the right thing, and that they're out of their element, and it kept pushing them under until it culminated in the last 10 minutes here, where Negan kind of has a show of force. He outnumbers them 10-1 across the board, and he has them surrounded, and they're chasing across the board. So I thought it was entertaining. I know people were pissed. I do think people that don't watch it, and like you don't watch it, like, oh,
I
people
did
are
so
talking
far.
about it. Like people talked about it all week at my work this week. Like I got questions about it tonight from people. They're out there talking about it. So people still do like it. They're pissed
Oh,
off because they didn't get what they wanted, but.
there's two people at my work that they still watch it, and like one guy walked over to the other, like, they always like discuss it, and then one guy walks over and goes, "I think I'm done watching that show," and the other guy goes, "I thought it was a good episode, man. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about."
Yeah,
So
they say
I
that
can see that
like
split.
I had a lady at work go, I'm done. I'm not watching. I'm like, and then she
People
was
say
like,
that on cliffhangers, though, you know?
and then she was like, by the end of it, she's like, I'll be back next season. So it's like whatever. All right, we should wrap us up because we're getting
Yeah. But we have plenty to talk about next week. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.